studying from the ESV, and we're studying Psalm 86 because it contains three verses that are the theme for our women's ministry events this year, verses 11 through 13. Tonight, our focus will be on verse 11, which says, "Unite my heart to fear your name." To give it a little context into Psalm 86, this was written by David in what seems to have been a time of great difficulty and distress in his life. We don't know the exact situation David was in when the psalm was written, but we do know from verse 14 that a group of violent men were trying to kill him. Now, we know from various passages in the Bible that David experienced numerous attempts on his life. As a leader of Israel's army, he fought, you know, against Israel's enemies, so he was constantly in danger on the battlefield. He was also hunted down for 10 years, literally 10 years, by a madman, King Saul. And King Saul was paranoid that David would someday become king, so he literally drove his army throughout the wilderness of Judea, looking through every little cave and hidey hole to try to find David to kill him. And then later, as king, David had to flee the royal city and run for his life when his son Absalom tried to kill him and take over his throne. So David knew desperation, he knew danger, he knew discouragement, he knew need. And in this psalm, he pleads with the Lord, imploring God at least 14 different times to listen to him, to save him, to be merciful to him, and to help him. So let's read Psalm 86 together, starting in verse 1. "Incline your ear to me, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am godly. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all the day. Gladden the soul of your servant." He was obviously discouraged, in need of gladdening. "For to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving." Now he's starting to remember who God is. "Abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. In the day of my trouble, I call upon you, for you answer me. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love toward me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol." Sheol was another term for like hell or the grave. "O God, insolent men have risen up against me. A band of ruthless men seeks my life, and they do not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Give your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Show me a sign of your favor that those who hate me may see and be put to shame, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this passage in your word. Thank you for the reminder that you do answer us when we cry out to you. Thank you that you are a God who hears and acts and even rides on the clouds through the heavens to help us. We ask you to help us understand your word tonight. Please teach us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So as I said, our theme for tonight is found in verse 11, which says, "Unite my heart to fear your name." Now, in the middle of all these other pleas and cries for help, this is an interesting request that David makes of God. Unite my heart to fear your name. It's as if he senses that in the midst of all the threats and chaos and turmoil going on in his life, his heart feels very divided. It's distracted. It's being pulled in all kinds of different directions. He has a problem, and his problem is a divided heart. Now, ladies, we may not be running for our lives from a madman. Hopefully not. And we may not be engaged in hand-to-hand combat on a battlefield, but every single one of us can identify with a divided heart. We know what this feels like to have a heart pulled in various directions. We often feel divided in our time, in our energy, our desires, and even in our affection for God. As John Piper states, this is very typical of the Christian life. We often sense that our hearts are not entirely longing for God and the things of God, but they're not entirely resisting God either. And that's because our hearts are a constant battleground, right? Outside, we have our enemy, Satan, and all the allurements of the world constantly seeking to divide and distract us. And inside, we have a battle raging between flesh and spirit. God's spirit is seeking to lead us toward life and peace. And of course, our sinful nature is trying to pull us back into bondage and sin and decay and destruction. So each of us struggle daily to have a consistently united heart. And like David, we have a problem. We have a divided heart. And this is important, ladies. A divided heart is a problem because it keeps us from doing the one thing we were created to do, to fear and worship God alone. A divided heart wants to be pulled into and worship all these other things, but we need to ask ourselves, do we want Satan and the world and our own flesh keeping us from doing the one thing we were created to do? No, not at all. And that's why having a united heart is so important. It keeps our love and affections focused on the one person in the entire universe who is actually worthy of our worship and the only person who can truly satisfy our longing hearts. Now, let's just biblically define some of these terms as we look at the phrase, unite my heart to fear your name. The word heart in Hebrew is levav. And of course, it's not referring to the anatomical muscle that pumps blood through our veins. Instead, the heart refers to the inner man, the very center of our thoughts, our emotions, our passions, and our desires. Proverbs 4 warns us to guard our hearts above all else because they are very prone to divide and to wander in wrong directions. Jeremiah 17 says, cursed is the man whose heart turns from the Lord. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So contrary to the culture's advice to follow our hearts, the Bible actually teaches that our hearts are not to be trusted, that we must protect them continuously from crafty and dishonest influences, not only from the world around us, but also from our own sinful desires. So the heart is the seat of our emotions and desires. The word unite means to combine or bring together in a common cause or action, to concentrate the heart's affections so that every part of our heart is working toward the same purpose. A divided heart is just the opposite, right? It's splintered into all these different factions. So there's obviously unrest and conflict and tension because it's not uniting around a common purpose or goal. Over the last several months, I have especially struggled with a divided heart. I felt restless. I felt distracted. I felt at odds within myself. I felt dissatisfied. I felt distant from the Lord, kind of just, you know, going through the motions of Bible reading and prayer. And I've sensed over the past several months, like something is off. But I hadn't been able to put my finger on what it was. And I ended up going to coffee with a friend, and she mentioned, you know, I might consider doing this ministry-related thing. And immediately the first thought in my head was, no. No way. I am in no place right now to be serving the Lord in that way, because I knew in my heart there was a problem. And I just burst into tears right there in the middle of my coffee. And I came home and I cried out to God and I wept before him and I just said, God, what is going on? And he was so kind to show me the problem. I had a divided heart. A divided heart is restless and dissatisfied, and it odds with itself because it's not fully aligning with what our hearts were created to do, to fear and worship God. Division happens when we look for our primary enjoyment or satisfaction, all these other things, instead of looking to God who gives us all we need. And it's actually a gift to us when God shows us that our hearts are divided, because he knows how to fix that. And he truly wants us to have hearts that are fully content and united and at rest in him. So how do we get from a divided heart to a united heart that's focused on our Savior? The first and best thing we can do is to ask for God's help, just like David did. David recognized he was struggling, and he simply asked God, here in verse 11, to unite his heart. We need God's help first and foremost, because a united heart is not something we can accomplish in our own strength. It is a supernatural work of God. Ezekiel 11:19 says, I, the Lord, will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh, meaning a heart that's soft and responsive to God. God alone can take a divided heart and supernaturally unite it. We can't do that. If it were left to us, we would not know a single moment of unity with God or the things of God. We need God to do that miracle of uniting our hearts, and we need to ask him often as necessary, because our hearts quickly wander away. Anytime that we recognize that our hearts are divided, the best thing we can do is simply to confess that to God and ask for his help. John Piper shares a very practical way that we can ask God to redirect our hearts' affections to him. He calls it the IOUs, or maybe it's the IOUSs. I'm not sure if you've heard of this before. Each letter corresponds with a verse in the Psalms. I stands for incline my heart to your testimonies. O stands for open my eyes that I might behold wonderful things from your word. U stands for unite. I feel like I'm doing the YMCA up here. Unite my heart to fear your name. And S stands for satisfy. Satisfy me in the morning with your unfailing love. So, you know, consider asking God to do this daily. I've started doing this. I've started praying through these verses. Ask him to unite your heart toward his word, to open your eyes to the beauty of his word, to unite your heart to fear him, and to satisfy you with his unfailing love. So the first thing we do with a divided heart is to ask God to supernaturally unite it. And second, we need to identify, like, what we may have either intentionally or unintentionally put in his place that's become an idol for us. We often think of idols as these little gold statues, right, that we see in restaurants around town. But idols of the heart can be anything. Anything that is competing with God for our attention and affection. So we can ask ourselves, you know, what do we spend the most time on? What fills our thoughts? What do we naturally crave? I don't know about you, but I can make idols out of sugar, mindless TV watching, romance novels, my to-do list, body image, health, comfort, all manner of things. Those can easily steal my affections away from God. And that day after the coffee shop, when I came home and I was crying out to the Lord, I just started making a list on a 3x5 card of just things I knew were trouble areas for me, things that could easily divide my heart. And I decided to start praying about those areas specifically. And you know what was cool? The Lord like brought verses to my mind for each one of those things. And just praying that the Lord would give me victory and help my heart to stay focused on Him instead of wanting to worship these lesser things. So God knows each of our hearts individually, right? I mean, better than we do. And He can pinpoint what's vying for our worship. If we ask Him to reveal those idols, He faithfully will. And He'll provide both His Word and His Spirit to help us do it. His Word provides the instruction, what we're to do. His Spirit provides the power, how we're to do it, and how to obey it. So here are just a few verses that instruct us regarding idols. Idolatry is spoken of often in the Bible because God knows how naturally we want to worship and prioritize these other things. 1 Corinthians 10:14 says, "My beloved, flee from idolatry." Flee means run hard as if to escape. Colossians 3:5, "Put to death what is earthly in you." Then he lists the idols of sexual morality, impurity, passions, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Joshua 24:23, "Put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord." Put away literally means to be done, to be finished. In Revelation 2, Jesus says, "Return to me, your first love. Repent and do the things you did at first." So in other words, turn from these idols and do the things that you know actually stir up a white-hot love and affection for me. Deuteronomy 6:5-6, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength." Don't love all these other things that splinter your affections. Your heart is to be totally committed to me. So with God's help, we're to flee, put to death, and put away the idols of our heart. And instead, we're to return to God, repent, and love Him wholeheartedly. Why do you think God repeats these instructions about idols over and over and over again in His Word? Do you think He just like needs filler material? or He likes vain repetition? Yes. No. Idols, ladies, idols are a trap. They sparkle and they shine and they promise to satisfy us. But in the end, God knows, they ensnare and enslave us and lead us to ruin. Anytime there's an idol enthroned in our heart, there is destruction at the end of that path. Our hearts are so easily deceived. It's like if you can imagine putting a blindfold on yourself and then walking through a field that is just filled with landmines and thinking, "Oh, nothing's going to happen." That is how easily our hearts are deceived. But unlike our hearts, God is not blindfolded. He sees clearly to ahead to where that idol will take us, and He wants to protect us from the deception and ruin and heartache it will bring into our lives. God loves us, and He always tells us the truth about idols and everything else. So to recap, when we recognize that our hearts are divided, we want to ask God once again to unite them, reveal what has stolen away our affections, and ask Him to help us put those idols to death. Now, let's briefly look at what our hearts are to unite toward. What does the text say here in verse 11? It says, "Unite my heart to fear your name." Remember our biblical definition of unite? It means to concentrate the heart's affections so that every part of the heart is working toward the same purpose. So the purpose, the goal, is to have a heart completely united on fearing God's name. Well, what does it mean to fear God's name? Essentially, it means to fear God himself. His names just reveal like different parts of his character. So to fear his name means to fear all of who he is. To fear God is basically the complete opposite of ignoring him, which is what most of the world is doing. To fear God means to give him our full attention and to have a deep respect for him, to hold him in high honor, and to be in continual awe and reverence and astonishment at who he is and what he can do. When we read God's word, we find from cover to cover that God is awe-inspiring. Psalm 33 is just one passage that demonstrates this. It says, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." Ladies, do you know a single human being who can just speak a word and create even a single handful of dirt? No, of course not. Let alone the entire heavens and the stars and the planets and the sun and moon and earth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine how big he is to be able to gather up all the oceans together and hold them in his arms? It goes on to say he lays up the deep in storehouses, meaning he keeps clouds and rain and hail and wind and lightning stored up and ready for his use at any moment. Who else can do that? "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast." Ladies, our God is awe-inspiring. He alone is worthy of all our fear and honor and worship. Scripture is just full from beginning to end of miracle after miracle after miracle, demonstrating his supernatural power and might. And one of the most beautiful miracles that he performs is the transformation of a human heart. God alone is able to take a heart that is spiritually dead, that knows nothing of unity with God, and completely transform it. He gives us a new heart and new desires, a heart that is now united and able to love and serve and worship him. This is what the Bible calls being born again. If you have never experienced this, here's what you need to know. God loves you, and he made a way for your heart to be at rest and at peace with him. But there's a problem. Each one of us was born into this world with a sin nature, meaning we naturally sin. And that separates us from a holy God. And we can never be perfect enough. We can never be good enough to earn our way back to him. The punishment for our sin is serious. It's death, both physical death and spiritual death. Spiritual death is complete separation from God and his goodness forever and ever. But God loved us. He didn't want to be separated from us. His plan from the beginning was to rescue and redeem us. So he sent his son Jesus to live on this earth, to live a perfect, sinless life on our behalf, and then die in our place on the cross, bearing the punishment our sins deserved. And 3 days later, Jesus rose from the grave, proving that this payment was acceptable to God. And when we turn from our sin to God and seek his forgiveness and just trust that Jesus did die in our place, then God supernaturally grants us a new heart, a heart that is spiritually alive and reborn, a heart that has new desires and affections for God. And then God gives us his Holy Spirit to help us live now in a new way. And as a Christian, as we study God's word and learn to obey it, we continue to grow in our fear and reverence for God. Do we get sidetracked sometimes? Yes. Do our hearts still want to divide? Yes, they do. But ladies, don't give up. Don't surrender to a divided heart. Remember that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you to help you. He gives you supernatural power to turn from the idols our hearts crave. Cry out to God and ask him to unite your heart to fear him once again, just like David did. It's a request God loves to answer. Jeremiah 32 says, I will give them one heart, that they may fear me forever for their own good. I will put the fear of me in their hearts, that they may not turn from me. I will rejoice in doing them good with all my heart and all my soul. Ladies, Jesus died so that we may have a united heart. It's that important to him. And he experienced all the struggles of life here on earth just like we do. He understands the temptation that we face, so we can always come to him with confidence and ask for his help. Hebrews 4:15 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Though Jesus did experience all the struggles of life on earth, his heart stayed perfectly united with the Father. Christ did what we cannot do. He succeeded on our behalf so that we get to experience this blessing of a heart that's united and satisfied and at rest in God. What a gift. So ladies, let's pursue that together. Let's return to our first love. Let's ask God for his help as often as needed to realign our hearts and our affections back to him. I'm going to close by reading a prayer from the Valley of Vision. You might be familiar with this. It is a beautiful collection of prayers from the Puritans, but it is written in Old English. So you've been warned. Go ahead and just close your eyes, and we'll just pray this together. O God of the highest heaven, occupy the throne of my heart. Take full possession and reign supreme. Lay low every rebel lust. Let no vile passion resist thy holy war. Manifest thy mighty power and make me thine forever. Thou art worthy to be praised with my every breath, loved with every faculty of my soul, served with every act of my life. Thou hast loved me, espoused me, received me, purchased, washed, favored, clothed, adorned me when I was worthless, vile, soiled, polluted. I was dead in iniquities, having no eyes to see thee, no ears to hear thee, no taste to relish thy joys, no intelligence to know thee. But thy spirit has quickened me, has brought me into a new world as a new creature, has given me spiritual perception, has opened to me thy word as light, guide, solace, joy. Thy presence is to me a treasure of unending peace. No provocation can part me from thy sympathy, for thou hast drawn me with cords of love and dost forgive me daily, hourly. Oh, help me then to walk worthy of thy love, of my hopes and my vocation. Keep me, for I cannot keep myself. Protect me that no evil befall me. Let me lay aside every sin admired of many. Help me to walk by thy side, lean on thy arm, and hold converse with thee, that henceforth I may be salt of the earth and a blessing to all. Father, we thank you for this time together, and we just praise you for your kindness to renew our hearts day by day in this way. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.